Welcome to church, guys. Yay. And everybody online, welcome. Today's a very special day because we have a very special guest. I just want to give a little bit of a backstory before I invite Pastor Oma up here to speak and give us the word. But you guys, some of you guys already know this story, but for years now, I've been talking to the staff and the leadership in our church about the people groups that God wants us to minister to and love. And locally, you guys know that Echo has a heart for families with all sorts of abilities. And so we've been loving on people with different abilities through recess, through giving to churches like Shalom in LA. And that's our heart. And then around year five or six, we casted the vision for those that are experiencing orphan-like environments here in Orange County in LA. And so we got involved with Safe Families, as you guys know, and we host families that are going through major disruptive moments in their family. They're either homeless or parents are going to rehab. And so that's another group. And then for years, I've been saying to our team, our staff, that there is a group on my heart that I believe Echo is supposed to be a part of. And that group is the indigenous people of North America and South America. And for some reason, I felt like that's part of our destiny as a church, that we can't say we finished our story years from now if we did not participate in a redemptive work that God is doing with those people. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so I would tell the staff often, before we go around the world, before we do all these cool spiritual Christian campaigns and love on people around the world, I really believe we have to be faithful to the people God has us living with in this country and South America. And then, so you guys know, we got involved with Olivia's Basket last week. You guys saw John and Jane, and that house was finished. And so that was another part of that. People exposed in Mexico, people that are experiencing either homelessness or some kind of extreme situation. And then a while ago, I'm brewing on this, going, Lord, how do we even get involved? Like, where do you even start, right? Like, if I was to ask you, let's hang with indigenous people, where do you go? And how do you even connect? And then I'm praying over this, and one day Pastor Jeanette calls me, and I don't know if you remember, but she says, I had one of the clearest dreams with you in it, right? And I'm like, oh no, usually those kind of dreams are scary. And really, really like warnings. But to make a long story short, her dream was basically about God bringing us to indigenous people. And she did not know I was praying over this. And so I said, oh my God, okay, that's it. This is final confirmation for me. I need to do something. So I called up my mentors. And one of my mentors, who's a pastor at New Song in Santa Ana, Pastor Dave Gibbons, we got together, and Pastor Dave says, Brian, I have a great idea. I share this whole thing about the indigenous people. And he says to me, and this is how mentors work, he says to me, you should go for a bike ride. And I'm like, did you hear anything I said? Did you hear anything? And he goes, I have a friend who's doing a bike ride from San Diego, the border between Mexico and San Diego, all the way to Florida. And they're trying to raise awareness about the situation that's happening with the asylum seekers and refugees down across the border. So he said, I think you should go for that ride and just immerse yourself in that story. So like a good student, I'm like, okay. So I hop on a plane and I just go. And as you guys probably saw my Instagram post, because I was so proud of myself for riding a bike over 20 miles. And Pastor Alma saw it. She saw that I cheated. I did 20 miles with an electric bike, and then 20 miles. It's so funny because I did 20 miles, and I was like, dude, this is so easy, right? And then these older ladies came to join us on the ride, and then everybody be staring at me going like, you need to give up that bike to these older ladies. And I was like, them older ladies look fine to me. And they were like, finally, this is so sad. You should be so embarrassed of me. But I literally didn't say anything. I was like, and then finally, the guy who's heading it up was like, hey, Brian, I think you should give up your bike. So I was like, okay. And the rest of the 20 I did it regularly. But anyways, so we're there. And I'm thinking, why am I here? Why did I listen to Pastor Dave? What does this have to do with the indigenous people? There's no talk about that at all. I'm thinking maybe just God wants me to be here to pray for what's going on in the border. And then that evening, the head of this organization says, hey, guess what? We've been invited to a dinner hosted by Pastor Oma and Practice Mercy, which is the ministry that Pastor Oma founded. And he's like, anyone's welcome to come that's part of this bike ride. And I said, no, thank you. I am dying. I like to go to my hotel, shower, right? Do some door dashing and really just Netflix, right? So I'm not kidding. I was like, I am not interested in anything except hopping on a plane tomorrow and leaving. So I get to my bedroom and I kid you not, and some of you guys know this feeling where the Holy Spirit begins to tug at you really strongly. And I get into my hotel and I'm like, thank God. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to go to this thing now. And it was one of those like very clear moments from the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I don't want to go. The Holy Spirit's like, you better go. This is why you came. So I take a shower. I jump on the van and we get to this party that she's hosting. And Pastor Alma, I meet Pastor Alma for the first time, and she's sharing about Practice Mercy. And as she's talking about the fact that everyone she ministers to is an indigenous person. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, this is why you're here. ECHO is to partner with what they're doing. And so we cross over the border. She hosted us, and we got to meet the mothers of Reynosa, as you guys know. And then months later, we took a team down to McAllen, Texas, where she is, where the base of the ministry is. And then we crossed over again, and we met many of the mothers, and we shared, and I talked about all that many times, and we talked about how they have so much courage. But can I share something really quick? Who went with me to Mexico that time? Kathleen, who else is here? Nixon, who else? Don't be ashamed, right? Jenny, don't be ashamed to associate with me, okay? And guess what, guys? Can I tell you something? One of them crossed over. I just found out right now. We thought they would never cross over, right? And I hope she gets to share that, but one of them crossed over with one of their kids. And so, I mean, can you believe this, guys? God is in it. Can we give a hand to the Lord? But I want to do justice to welcoming you, because usually I babble on and then I, and anyway. So Pastor Alma Azua, she is founder and director of Practice Mercy, which runs out of McAllen, Texas. She founded it in 2019. And it's an initiative to serve women and their children caught in the crossfire of the complex immigration system. Since then, she has focused on serving this extremely vulnerable population along the Rio Grande Valley. Pastor Alma makes weekly trips to bring critical supplies. I mean, we were part of that, and we got to see what she brings. And I'm talking about basic human needs. She gets firsthand updates of the situation on the ground, as well as provides spiritual support and counseling. And I tell you what, the ladies, the moms that we got to meet, I don't think they would even make it without Pastor Alma's ministry, honestly. And then the fact that now one of them, we actually know one of them that crossed, is truly an honor to be a part of. So ECHO, we've been talking about how we worship, and you know, Pastor Alma, in many ways, has led us in worship with what she does, providing respite, providing shelter, and residing with those who are experiencing all kinds of injustices. And so I just want to let you know how proud I am of you, to represent you. Last fall, all the giving of fall, remember the fall giving? It went to Pastor Alma's ministry. And I tell you what, every dime is worth it just for that one mom and kid to cross over. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you welcome Pastor Alma with me?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Hi, guys. I have a very Pentecostalish voice, so they have to decrease the volume over there. But thank you for allowing us to be here with you guys and just to share our heart and to share what the Lord is doing. Really, what the Lord has done to divinely connecting us with you has been a shot of life, not only for me personally and my children as a missionary family, for our ministry that is a faith-based nonprofit, and for the people we serve as well. You know, when Pastor Brian was sharing with us, with part of my board, about how the Lord brought him there, we couldn't help but to glorify the Lord for his direct intervention in connecting us with you. And this is completely, and there's no doubt that this is a divine connection with you. This is my first time in California, my first time ever, the first time that my children fly inside the United States. So it was an amazing experience. Yesterday, as we were in Dallas Airport, my youngest boy, my two boys are special needs. One is on the autistic spectrum, and my older one, and my little one is Sammy, who's 12. And he's clinically ADHD, so he's like a chihuahua on espresso. And so you see him somewhere, you know, please send him back into the building, the grounds of the church. And so we're missionary family. They come with me. We serve together. The first refugee camp along the border was in Matamoros. If you Google Matamoros camp, you can see some of the pictures, some of the things during one of the policies of immigration that the Trump administration did. It was called MPP, Migrant Protection Protocol, which is an ironic thing of saying you cannot request asylum, you go to Mexico at the border and wait there until we figure out what to do with you. Well, borderlands on the Mexican side are completely controlled by cartels. I'm Mexican, and I can tell you that it's extremely dangerous. If you tell a Mexican person, oh, yeah, you know, Reynosa, what? What were you doing there? You know, I mean, it's like level 4, homeland security threats like Syria and Iraq. I mean, it's very, very dangerous, cartel-controlled territories. And so we serve there, you know, and when the Lord asked us to be doing this, it was in the thick of the pandemic, we faced a lot of opposition. I was challenged by my prayer partners in McAllen. What are you doing? Risking your life and, you know, in the pandemic and, you know, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And the more we pray, you should pray about this. And the more we pray, the more donations we got to take a cross. And sometimes my boys and I, on a Sunday after church, we will carry, my boys, I can assure you with witnesses, that we have carried hundreds of pounds and huge suitcases across International Bridge to bring there. And God in his mercy, you know, it's amazing. I think Koreans are very similar to Mexican culture, traditional Mexican and traditional Korean. We cannot gather without food. I think it's a love language, right? And, you know, we're following the ways of Jesus. You find in the scriptures that Jesus gathered with people and there was food involved most of the time. So we're following closely on the ways of Jesus. And so in this case, you know, my boys go with me, they carry suitcases, and my refugee friends will get to know them. So they will say, Sammy, do you want pupusas? Are like gorditas? I like tortillas that they make, you know. I highly recommend them. So they will come, and, you know, my little one, Sammy, you know, he is like exhausted of carrying, you know, those suitcases. And do you want some pupusas? Yes. Okay, wake in the hammock. So they will set up a hammock for him at the refugee camp, and he will wait there. So, you know, it is amazing that you involve them in your work. And as I was praying the first time, the Lord literally laid on my heart to come and see you, because Pastor Brian and everybody in the team can tell you 1,000 stories. But it's different when you know someone who risked their lives on a weekly basis to do what the Lord has asked us to do. And I'm not saying I'm ultra spiritual. You know, a lot of people say, oh, those missionaries in dangerous places, they're super spiritual. Yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, but before we get killed, we freaked out, just for you to know. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, if we're not like, here I am, cartel, kill me, you know. Look at this, you know, snipers, send your snipers. No, we freak out before we die. You know, and we pray. But I think one of the ways that we can face our fears is talk about it, you know, and giving them to the Lord and said, Lord, please do keep in your hands, you know. And I speak with my boys. If something happens to me, you talk with Pastor Aaron, you know, you talk with the board, you know. You have to do that. You know, if something happens to me, you know, and praise the Lord that Pastor Brian recommended an app. Here they can see where you are. So we downloaded the app and that has been very helpful. But it's one of the things, because as a family, and I think I strongly recommend you to do that in the time of the pandemic, do not let your decisions based on fear. Do not, please, don't fall in that trap. The Lord says in Timothy that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And if we fall in love with Jesus, we shouldn't be afraid of dying. You know, the Apostle Paul says that for me, to die is gain. But so many times we feel on earth like it is eternity, and it's not. You know, because what we believe in our ancient spirituality, as the world calls it, you know, our ancient faith is not of this world. You know, this is, we're passing by, you know, we're citizens of heaven, but so many times we behave and we act like this is heaven. And heaven is somewhere out there in space waiting for us, right? So our values and our way of life is very different from what the scriptures say. And that's why so many young people, I don't know what are they now, non-millennials, Gen Xers, and the younger than Gen Xers, I don't follow up with American culture, it's so complicated. But those young people, right? So it is very, very different because why are reality shows in America so popular? Because they want to see the truth, they want to see the reality, right? Reality shows. Well, we should live our life in Christianity. And many times it's dangerous anymore to say I'm an evangelical Christian, right? When I work with my Muslim friends or Hindu friends or whatever friends that are not Christians, you know, even now, the poison and the toxicity of current culture, so mistakes done by leadership or political leadership, have tainted our faith, and they shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't affect us. Because not that I know Greek, but I've heard some pastors like Pastor Brian, right? According to the Greek and evangeliums, right? And it's the good news. And Satan has done a great job. And Christians, with a very poor discernment taste, have done a good job or tainted what is supposed to be a good faith. And I think today I'm going to invite us, and I want you to know that I'm preaching to myself on this. The first thing that the Lord saved me, I'm from Northern Mexico, I'm a recent immigrant, and I'm part of the first generation of Mexican missionaries that is serving in a global context. And as I was sharing, my two boys have a Hebrew name, Asaf in Hebrew from Psalm 50, Salam, which is peace in Arabic. And my other one, Sammy, S-A-M-I, from Aramaic and Arabic, Abram. Because we were planning to be serving among Syrian refugees in Afghanistan and the Middle East. That was our end goal. We were planning on it. And then my family went through a horrific tragedy. Their father suffered a breakdown. That's what I can call it. And so in the past 6 years, we have faced abrupt abandonment, parental kidnapping. I lost my boys for almost 6 months while my American visa expired. When I met with the FBI agent assigned to the border town where I lived, they said, well, they are American born. Their father is American citizen. You're not. The chances for you to see your children again are very, very low. And I grew up in the Assemblies of God. I'm Pentecostal in my faith. And after spending time in the Middle East, the Lord opened my heart and my understanding to liturgical worship. But I'm still Pentecostal, you know. And I said, well, we're praying for those boys to come home. And home is where their mom is. So we'll keep you informed, you know. And we kept praying and we kept fasting and we kept praying, right? So I lost my voice for almost 6 months. By the grace of God, now we're safe. Divorce is finalized, so to safety concerns, I got the custody for my boys in Texas. And then right after that, we got the confirmation that my boys were special needs. One is in the autistic spectrum, the other one is ADHD. So it has been a trip, right, you know, and as a recent immigrant, I needed to wait 5 years for my citizenship, and I couldn't be out of the country more than 6 months. So I started to pray, okay, I cannot be in the Middle East now. How do you want me to serve you? How do I want me? And then it was the children's separation. It was the border crisis again. And one of my pastors, local pastor, says, study the people you serve. And so it's okay. I'm here at the border. I need to study the border. And I started, one of my best friends in the area says, don't start at anything new. Just serve along the people, you know, that you already have ministries. And I started to look for a ministry. I'm not interested in charity. I am a senior missionary that believe that Jesus is the way. It's not politically correct in our world, but that's our faith. And to do everything because of Jesus. But I couldn't find something like that. There was Catholic Charities, there was Tim Brownsville, there was other organizations, nonprofit that do extraordinary jobs. But my region of the border is not like Tijuana, San Diego. We have just a handful of organizations that do our job, but ministries that serve holistically and relationally the people that I serve, it was non-existent. We work in small cohorts of people, women, and especially this year, since Reynosa started in March, we work with indigenous people. Because during prayer, I asked, how can I serve these thousands of people? How do I choose who to serve? I'm just me full-time. I have an amazing board of directors. I have amazing pastoral advisors. But how do I choose who to serve? It sounds prejudiced, right? It sounds like, how can I do that? And so the Lord just spoke to me very strongly. Well, you can identify and hear indigenous languages. I can do that. So we focus on that because we couldn't choose, right? So the Lord guided us to do that, and we started to do that a year ago in March. And something that the Lord has started to develop and all of that. But I want to share with you the verse that is the greatest commandment. And that has been the pillar in my life that keeps me grounded, that keeps me in focus on what really matters. And you know, Americans and America are so distracted by culture wars, what you should be doing, and I think we spent a lot of time and energy in doing that. And I think we need to focus. Why? Because our time is limited, our resources are limited, and we need to discern and make a decision of what really matters. And what matters is eternity. And what matters is that we fall in love with Jesus. And I think that he spelled it out for us through the greatest commandment. And he says, it's in Gospel of Matthew 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And in that, that's Christianity. But unfortunately, power and money and reputation and things get intertwined with that. And the empire and political power is not compatible with Jesus and the message of the cross. We cannot mix them. It's like oil and water. We cannot do that. So anymore, because of the cultural wars in America and what has happened in the past administrations, I cannot say Christian. I don't use me personally, me, right? Because Muslims in my town, which has we have two mosques with two full-time imams, which are the leaders of the Muslim communities. For a border town, that's a lot. You know, McAllen is a border town. Maybe a million people if you count all the little towns. So I say I'm a follower of Jesus, or I'm a Christ follower. Meaning, I submit and I adhere to the teachings of Jesus and Jesus alone. So that will give them an understanding of who I am. Because anymore, it's so dangerous to say I'm a Christian evangelical, right? Because of so many mistakes done in the past 5 years. And so for me, that brings it home. That makes me safe as I share who Jesus is with other people. And I think this will help us to ground ourselves on who we are. What do we believe? And once we start analyzing, repeating, put post-its, like me, old school, right? People are, I see you guys with the phone, you know. I love books. I know that I can read them often, but because I have two boys. But that helps me to highlight, you know, to see, to think of it, you know. And that is so important. Because to fall in love with someone means you like him, right? But with Jesus, we cannot fall in love with Jesus if we don't know his word. And many of us act or behave like we are ADHD. We're so distracted, right? You know, we're sitting and then it's like, oh, Instagram, oh, Twitter, or what else? TikTok, right? Somebody is a star in TikTok. I know, I was informed. And you know, I need to learn to do that, by the way, because it's a cool thing. But, you know, all of this, and we're so distracted. And I find myself, I need to be an hour without this machine. And I tell my voice, preaching to myself, you are in control of that thing. Not that thing will control you, right? But it's not like that, you know? We have to be careful with what's important. And so for us, knowing Jesus is knowing his word. And because for me, many times I'm talking to moms and working moms especially. I think, you know, when we are single, who are single here? Who is single? Nobody single? I'm not looking for anybody. Don't worry about it. But don't worry about it. I'm not going to hit on you. But I just don't know, who is single here? Nobody? Okay? Praise God. You guys, believe it or not, you have the best life. You do. You know, when you're single, let me just tell you my story. When I was single, a single missionary, man, I rocked. You know, God tells you, Cuba, yeah, get arrested by the Cuban military for smuggling Bibles into Havana. I got a strip search. They held me for several days. You know, they took my passport. And, you know, it's cool. You know, it's cool. I was still single. You know, I'm a super missionary, you know. And when we're single and we are Christian, you know, we think we're so spiritual. We hear the Lord. The Lord talks to me. We hang out, you know. And then we get married. And then we realize how selfish we are. That's my side of the bed. I get in the shower first. That's my pillow. What are you thinking? No. It's your turn to watch the kids, you know? And then we realize, oh, man, I think to work on being selfless more, right? And then we have kids. And we realize, I need to get saved, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, OMG, how am I gonna handle these little people that I made, you know? And no losing it, and you know, no snapping at them, and no, you know, be this godly mom in a sin world, you know? And it's like, and then once we have babies, that's it. You know, I think just half of our brain works, you know? I mean, it's just like, did I do the laundry? Did I turn off the stove? You know, oh, a parent-teacher conference, what? why? You know, and he's like, you know, and he's just like, you know, and then and for me, I'm just like, please don't repeat this outside the building. But he's like, you see all these people waiting in car? I don't know if that happens here. Outside the school, you see the cars, right, waiting for the people. Don't they have anything else to do? I mean, it's like, I can barely take a shower and wash my hair. I mean, it's just like, but is we realize that we really need to work on our spirituality, right? Once we have children. So single people rock. Don't let anyone tell you anything else. It's you and the Lord, you know, and the Lord speaks to you and then you do it. You don't have to consult with anybody to see if the Lord spoke to him. And, you know, and because when you are in ministry and you are a married couple, it's such a big deal, you know, because the Lord will speak to Pastor Brian and then the Lord has to speak to his wife and, you know, and she has to be in agreement and so the Lord to bless it. And it's just a big deal. You know, so it's like it's complicated, you know. And then the Lord's like, really, Brian, I have to speak to her so you can obey me? Are you sure? You know, and God has to intervene. And, you know, so when you're single, you just, you know, you're in the Lord. You're in the Lord. So do whatever you want to do and go wherever you want to go because it's you and the Lord. You know, so and I'm just, you know, trying to do this because so many times we think that people in ministry have it all together. We just look like it, guys. I mean, you know, it's like you just look like it. But, and all of this to say that loving God is by knowing His Word. We cannot. And for me, I was saying all this because so many times when you have kids, when you're a mom, you know, when I was a single missionary, you know, I spoke with the Lord and highlighted and had my corner and have this version of the Bible and that version of the Bible. Now I found an app that talks to me, you know. It's so cool. I just discovered it. It's the Dwell app. Do you guys know it? You know, it's so cool. And it has different accents. The British accent, and then, you know, the South African accent, you know. So I can pretend I'm in London on my way to Jerusalem, you know. And it's, you know, a girl can dream. And then, so you have all these apps. Okay, you know, I play the app. Okay, why? Because sometimes I just stay in 2-3 verses and highlighting and praying in 2-3 verses, you know, because many times I think it's a women thing. Everything has to be in place for me to sit down and read the Bible. You know, well, that perfect timing and that perfect place may never get to you. So you have to make an intention to hear the Word of God and to live the Word of God and to highlight the Word of God. Because if we are always thinking that the place and the time until that is set up, I won't open my Bible and I won't read that, that may never happen, guys. And we are so distracted and we are so busy, right? I mean, it's like, why are we so busy? And I invite you, I'm on my journey, a lifetime journey, to declutter. Don't have notifications on your phone, you know. Declutter your life. What matters for you? For us, and I repeat to my children, is God, is faith, family, and the rest. And it's in this time where it's so our faith and our values are so countercultural. Why? Because you guys, we are not from this world. We're here to make a difference, but we need to practice your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I invite you that we live our life as a lifestyle. When I see my Muslim friends with a hijab, you know, you see them with their thing, you know they're Muslims, right? By the way they dress, the way they eat during Ramadan, the holy month of fasting. Muslim fast 30 days. They only can swallow saliva, some of them. They don't eat anything from sunrise to sundown. It's for them, it's cleansing so they can hear the word of the Lord. Can you imagine if you invite your church to fast for a month? You are left by yourself in the altar, you know. I mean, and you know, and it's, we should have a lifestyle, right? That my faith dictates how we dress. My faith dictates how I eat. My faith dictates what I choose for my career. My faith dictates how I raise my children. My faith dictates how I love my husband, how I love my wife. Can you imagine if our faith, only our faith for the sake of Jesus, my faith for the sake of His kingdom, dictates who we are? That will make the world better. That will make our lives better. And if the gospel doesn't transform us, we need to recheck and we need to do a recognition of what God are we serving? What Jesus are we following? Because his words are very clear. Love me with your mind, love me with your soul, with your feelings, with your emotions, with your actions. Therefore, because God is love, then we can serve our neighbors. It won't cost us as much. It won't be as painful for us to give. It won't be as painful for us to give our money and to give our lives, right? I don't know if you helped me with the other one. Sorry, I didn't send you my notes. The poor people are trying to keep me organized, and I just finished a big team. I'll tell you about it. And this is very important, guys. We love God because he first loved us. Falling in love with him by getting to know him in his word. There's no other way to keep to know him except by his word and through his presence during prayer. And many times we imagine spirituality or prayer time, you know, it'd be great if we can all go on a retreat, but our complicated schedules are difficult. And I don't know if you remember, well, many of you guys don't know, but there was a famous Korean pastor, Paul Jung-gi Cho. The older people in the room may remember that. And he, you know, they were promoting during this movement in Korea of praying an hour, right? For ADHD people like me, you know, it's like to be in one place, you know, is very hard. But one of my Spanish pastor in McAllen said this, and I fully agree with him. I don't go an hour without praying. I'm driving, Lord Jesus, help me. And many times I don't know how to pray because I always face very complex situations, life-day circumstances on a weekly basis, not only for me, but for other people. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, be with me. Jesus, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Please heal my soul, heal my mind from everything I hear, all the pain, the darkness, the suffering. Jesus, keep me safe during this thick spiritual warfare that I face. Help us. Give me wisdom. It can be three words, guys. Every few minutes, every time, when you walk, when you're drinking water, when you're driving, you know, turn off the music. Sometimes you can worship, right? It's so important to worship. But sometimes your driving time, especially here in LA, right? Everything is far away. Use it for prayer. Use it for prayer. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I need you. Seriously, you know, I really need you. Help me to do this life thinking of eternity. And our perspective, his spirit will transform us. His spirit will help us. I'm not very patient. And the Lord gave me two boys in his sense of humor. And so, you know, I snap. breathe. And then they preach back to me. Mom, don't speak in anger. Don't speak in anger, Mom. Go for a walk. Okay. You know, and so it's like, that will help us. That will help us to apologize to our children when we offended them because now they have feelings and they voice their opinions. Not like in our times that they would just look at us and that's it, right? You're quiet. It's a very, I don't want to say opinionated, but it's a very vocal generation, right? And so we have to model for them. So many times, they are the only Jesus examples they have. And we have to make sure that we walk close to Jesus, close to him. And only he will help us. And the next one, if we can do that one, is one of my favorite verses. We're going to read them at the end. This is important. Do not conform. Right? To the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. By reading the scriptures, we will know what's right and what is wrong. Cultural wars will always have them. You don't have to engage. You don't have to use your energy, your mental energy, or your time in that. You need to declutter your life. We need to declutter our life. And we need to choose what matters. And that is extremely important. And I invite you, I invite us, that we declutter our life and we choose what matters for us. And I invite us to fall in love with Jesus again. And he will guide us to what matters. Because many people will come to me and would say, what are you doing risking your life and risking your children's life? That is very, very negligent. And the more we pray, and the more the Lord gives us his peace to do what he has asked us to do. And that is something that is beautiful to see. When you pray and you make a decision, the peace of the Lord usually will follow. That is something that is very, very clear to us. We started serving refugees along the border in the thick of the pandemic. And we never stopped going to the refugee camps no more than a week. And because I was traveling. And my children and I have never been sick with COVID. We have never been sick. We have never caught anything. We haven't seen cartel face to face that I know of. And the Lord has protected us, has kept us safe, and has increased our love for the work that we're called to do. Those are really cool slides that one of my friends helped me make. But he's like, what are they saying? You know, the font is very, very, very small. And you're just like, it's cool, but what does it say? Can we go to the other one? I don't know who's helping me with the other one. Okay. This is a good verse in the Gospel of John. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. John 5:39. We cannot know Jesus if we don't know the Word of God. That is something that I have a hard time to sit down and read the verse. So I do it during breakfast. But other times I am so busy, like you guys are, that I have to listen to the word. And that now, guys, in this 21st century, we have no excuse to not know the word of the Lord. Now, even talks to you in a British accent, you know. So let's cling to that verse, you know. And the next one, I think we're done with that one, right? We love because he first loved us. And I want to invite you to us, all of us, and I'm preaching to myself here, guys, to live this life as it is in eternity, because we are already in the kingdom of God. When the American military goes, right, when everybody's in law enforcement, you know, thank you for your service, Memorial Day, do you guys do that here? You know, when the military is a great honor to be part of the military or to be part of law enforcement, right? Thank you for your service, you know, and we honor them and we have these holidays. And when a missionary goes to another country, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Ukraine now, what are you doing? Taking your kids over there to be killed, you know? And it's like, he's been obedient to God's kingdom. He's been obedient to the Spirit of God. And the communities of faith should be behind them and praying for them and supporting them and sponsoring them. Instead of hindering the call of God. We are bipolar in the sense that how we're treating our lives and our kingdom in God's kingdom. This earthly life, right now, my car, my bed, my clothes, my whatever, is temporary, guys. It's not forever. When I die, I cannot take anything with me on the casket. You know, it's limited, my space. But we treat this life like it's eternity, and it's not. I hate to break it out to you. It's not. You know, you cannot take your stuff with you. You cannot take your all your, whatever brand it is, or your card, or your finances, or your degree, you know, that is important, and I'm not saying that we are against it. But it's something that we need to put our value system in what matters. Yes, my degree, I'm choosing this degree from this, I'm going to, like my youngest son, loves robotics and loves this. I'm going to MIT, mom. Well, good, you have to do your homework. Well, it's not by osmosis, my son. You know, you have to do your homework, you know. And but it is getting this degree for what purpose? Going to this career for what purpose? Making more money? Okay. Why? Why do you want to make more money? You're going to spend less time with your children. You're going to have no chance to go to church or to worship in any other gifting. And I'm not saying that because I'm a faith-based missionary. I depend on offerings, and you may never invite me again. But, you know, but it is for what? Getting your degree just to make more money? Is that honoring Jesus in your life better? To the cost of your family, to the cost of more time, to the cost of what? And I depend on people like you to keep us on the ground serving. But this is something that the Lord really put in my heart to share with you. Every decision we make for ourselves or for our family should bring honor and glory to Jesus. And Jesus should be the number one priority in our lives. And we should pray and beg the Lord to help us fall in love with Him with passion. With passion. Not as an obligation, but with passion. I serve Him because I love Jesus. I risk my life and my children's life because I love Jesus. And the Lord has taken me in this. I was talking with Grace in the morning. Grace, where are you? Hey. She took me out to eat, you guys, to this fancy place. What's the name? Espresso. Yeah, that one. And they had a menu. And I'm like, what is that? I come from Taco Land, Texas, right? So it's like, what is that? But, you know, we treat this world like it is forever, and it's not. And I strongly invite you with all my heart that we fall in love with Jesus. Then loving our neighbor and giving our finances and giving our time won't be as painful for us. Because we'll do it because of Jesus. Because I love Him. Because I want to change the world in this generation. Because I want to make a difference. Because I want other people to see that I'm a Jesus person. Not of religion, not of this tradition or that tradition, but that this ancient faith has the same power as the day of Pentecost. That this ancient faith has the power to transform lives. And this ancient faith has the power to bring a purpose and a mission to this generation. Regardless of what race are we. One of the favorite verses is in Revelation 7:9 and says, "Here before the throne, I saw people from every tribe, every language, and every nation." And that verse, it is beautiful because it's that's the only Greek word I know, ethnos, that he says the ethnicity, the culture, the language, how we're shaped, the color of who we are, because God is a God of colors and shapes and difference of diversity and variety in a beautiful way. And so I just invite us to fall in love with Him so we can serve Him in a quality way. In a way, you know, like in the book of Acts, it says, those people that are making the world crazy are here. Those people that hang out with Jesus are here. So in this very confused world now, in this time of history, this generation, our young people, are desperate to see a reality show in our lives. And only that can preach to them. Nothing else can do that. Nothing else will impress them except a genuine faith. And we pray that we will fall in love with Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that can change lives. That's the only thing that can say,
You're different. What's up with you? And so our young people can say, they're Jesus people. They're Jesus because of their love. Because the gospel will make us better. The gospel, if the gospel doesn't make you a better wife, a better husband, a better student, then we need to revisit the faith we have. And that's what the Lord put in my heart for you guys, to live your life now as eternity. Because nothing else, if you get married or don't get married, if you make babies or don't make babies, you know, that's irrelevant. But we treat those things, how much will we make, what car do we drive, what brand do we use, you know, as our value. You know, that doesn't impress Jesus at all, I'm sorry to tell you. You know, that doesn't, you know, our value is not on things. Our value is not on stuff. Our value is not on looks. Our value is how we walk with him. That's our value. That's who we are. Who we are is not on how much we have. It's not on how, you know. And now, and we, that's why our faith is so counterproductive to the world. And it's so upside down kingdom. It is the opposite of the world tells us. And so I just invite you to fall in love with Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I think we have a little bit more time. If I can get Caroline and maybe Alice to come on the board. Oh, there they are. I think Heidi just left to get them. Somebody might want to tell Heidi. Okay. Is Alice here today? Alice Lee from the board? She's teaching. Okay. If we can get her too, that'd be nice. Pastor Alma, before we end, can you catch us up a little bit about what's happening there, especially with the mothers of Reynosa that we got to meet, maybe Patrona and how she crossed and stuff? Maybe
yes.
A little update.
We are facing very dark times because some of the immigration policies were put in place. And right now, this is the longest time that we have been with someone in Reynosa that have not been able to cross. But just a few days ago before we left, one of our girls was able to cross under humanitarian parole, and her child. And that's a miracle. Because we contacted different immigration professors and various lawyers and immigration organizations, and they said there's no way we can make any case or take any case because of the difficulty we're facing. So we just had one of them cross a few days ago.
Amen. Are you able to be in touch with her?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are going to try to get her in connection with an organization that can help her with the immigration case, because the people that we serve are less than refugees. A refugee is someone who has been authorized by the American government to be in the United States. They have a permission to work, they have permission to study, they have the help of the government. Asylum seekers are people who are seeking refuge, and they're not authorized. Even though they cross the international bridge and they're able to stay in America, they have to find an immigration attorney to help them plead their case. And they have 360 days, 365 days to do that. Otherwise, they will get deported to the countries of origin.
Can you explain also, it's really hard to imagine until you actually get there. She talked about the level 4 danger, much like what's happening in Ukraine and Syria. It's like it's literally a war zone right at our border.
Mm-hmm.
And then unfortunately, like, they don't get the news coverage.
No.
Right? So we're so concerned about what's happening around the world, but it's devastating right now on our border, and that's our turf. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but we have to answer to that, to the Lord, where we live. Amen. We can't just say, Lord, we helped out across the world and forget our brother and sister that we see here. You know, can you explain before we pray, you know, that bridge we crossed and how under the Trump administration they put those guards and how the asylum seekers, if they can just cross, they would, by international law, be able to be supported here or at least covered. But how we are so inhospitable. You know, the guards that were in the middle?
Yes, in the middle of the bridge. Yes, for according to international law, an asylum seeker can go to the port of entry in the United States and legally request asylum. But by land, on international bridges, you have a checkpoint in the middle of the bridge, and you cannot reach the port of entry. So now the Texas governor said, well, we're going to arrest you if you cross the river, right? And so it is impossible for them to request asylum under international law because they cannot reach the port of entry. So really, when people say, why they don't make the legal way? There is no legal way to do it. You know, I was married to a U.S. citizen for 20 years, have two U.S.-born children, and I was at the brink of deportation because my documentation wasn't filed, and I couldn't do anything. So these people who are waiting there in 105-degree weather or in a 25-degree weather, they cannot request asylum because they don't have the opportunity to do so. So it is extremely important that our moral support and tangible support can be there so we can make sure they're not kidnapped by the cartels. There's three different cartels in Reynosa. That is extremely dangerous to be there. When I take missionary teams, for us to take missionary teams there is extremely important because it's educating the faith communities around us of the importance of the ministry of presence. When we take them, is we are creating witnesses. Once you have seen the refugee camp within our borders, it's within your border. It's right there. You cross international bridge and you see a refugee camp for the first time in our history. That has never happened to us before. But so many things have changed that the compassion and the mercy of faith communities are gutted out. Locally, last week I heard in McAllen, we sent $20,000 to refugees in Ukraine. In McAllen, that's my hometown, in my local church. And we praise God for that. But we have invited local faith communities in the Rio Grande Valley in McAllen to come with us and see and pray for these people. And they're thinking about it. And so all of our help and all of our support and the prayer support, and most importantly, the moral support that we get is from outside Texas, like you guys.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So the churches on the border, they struggle to support or even want to get involved. And so a lot of the support actually comes from churches like us away. First of all, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for coming. I wanted her to speak because I wanted her more than just, more than anything, really to impart that love for Jesus on us. And when we were guided by her into the border, across the border, and I think the team could testify to this, it's interesting. It wasn't a job to her. It wasn't a career. It wasn't some charity cause. The whole time, Pastor Alma and her team are praying and leading us in the Spirit. Sometimes so much so that it scared the bejesus out of us. It's so funny because you kept saying how dangerous it is where we're going. And then you kept saying, it's okay. It's not that dangerous. So it was so... It was so confusing. And then you kept putting Nixon in the front saying... Nixon, you're so big, just stand in the front, which really what we found out later is most likely the snipers will shoot him because he's the biggest. So Nixon doesn't want to go back, I think.
Yeah. I promised to feed you well, Nixon. Come on.
Yes, you did feed us well. You did feed us well. Here's the deal. We're going to end soon, but I want Pastor Alma to pray for us, okay? But before she prays, I want Caroline and Alice to come up here real quick. I'm going to have you pray for Caroline, our missions director.
Okay.
And our board member, Alice, who is supporting, has been assigned to support her. As you guys know, Caroline has taken over our missions department, and she is cultivating this portion of our church. And how many of you guys know the enemy does not want her to succeed or us to succeed in any way? Because the enemy wants those that are enslaved to still remain enslaved, and those who are wanting to live by faith to not live by faith. And so it is imperative that today, when we have someone like Pastor Alma, to bless the work of our staff, who's in charge of all things missions, and also to bless our board member who's covering our staff member and our church. Amen? And so if you don't know, Alice Lee here is a board member here, and she's been assigned to partner with Caroline, and Caroline is our missions director. She is in charge of all the recesses, you know, the safe families, everything we do that goes out and touches the world. Praise so God. If you can bless them, we'll pray with you.
Amen. Yeah. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you that your anointing and your presence will guide us every day of our lives, Lord. We pray that you will allow us, that you will help us. We beg of you, Lord, that we can fall in love with you, Jesus, more every day of our lives, Lord. I pray for this church through the representation of Carol Ann and Alice, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we can shine our light in this world, Lord. Here in Fullerton, California, how can we serve you? How does that look like, Lord? I pray that you will guide us in every decision, in every plan, that it will be a program, Lord, that it will be your will for that specific people group, Lord. Lord, I pray for a special touch of your presence, your anointing, your favor, your wisdom, and your discernment in everything that they do, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this congregation that follows you, that loves you. I pray that they will realize, Lord, the impact that they've done through the mission service, through their generosity, through their willingness to go and see. I pray you create witnesses here of your love and your mercy. Use our lives, Lord, that when we see you face to face, Jesus, we cannot be empty-handed, and that you can call us good and faithful servant. Help us to keep that in mind when we serve you, Lord. And help us to serve you because we love you. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And if we can have your kids are here.
Yes.
Pastor Alma wanted us to bless her and her kids today as a church. Mm-hmm. Let's meet down here. Pastor Alma, can you come down? Can we come down here?
Oh, yes.
Pastors, can you come up? Let's lay hands on them. And church, can you stand? Let's stretch out our hands. These boys are going into the danger zone every week. Can you imagine having a mom like Alma, Pastor Alma? But how many guys know these guys are going to be men of God? Yeah, they're going to change the world.
Amen.
And so let's pray. Reach out your hand, pastors. Let's bless them. And if one of the pastors can pray a blessing over this family.
Thank you. Lord, we ask for a double portion of your anointing, of your presence to walk with them. Lord, I pray for Pastor Alma and her family. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Mary. Upon the news of Jesus' arrival, she is given the good news, and she is the one sent to share the good news to the apostles. And Lord, Mary is often met with disbelief. Mary, because of her courage to tell the story of Jesus' resurrection, she lives in the story of the gospel forever. And so, Lord, we pray for a double portion of all that is good and true and holy, of your goodness, of your joy, of your presence, of your love. And I pray for many more stories to flow out of this family, Lord, that there will be stories flowing out of this family for eternity because of her faithfulness, her joy, and her love for you, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the privilege of getting to even hear her story, of getting to even know her, Lord, and that she is a gift, not just to this church, but to the large body of Christ. And Father, I pray that you give us that same impartation, that same level of courage, Lord, to follow you wherever you call us, to go wherever you go. I pray, Lord, that you find us at the feet of the disenfranchised, the marginalized, and the broken. And Father, give us the courage to serve and love them well. Father, I pray more for more of your protection, God, and more of your love. And God, I pray for more opportunities to just see you moving in our midst. We thank you for the blessing that she is. We thank you for the blessing their family is to this body and to the body of Christ. And Jesus, we love you. It is such a privilege to serve you. And we pray all things in your strong name. Amen. Amen.
All right, Father, we bless this time. We thank you for Pastor Alma. I thank you, Lord, that today was not just some invitation to do something radical or go somewhere far, but it was really an invitation to come to you, to come to you and renew our love with you. And when we do that, you will send us wherever you need us. So, Father, it's not even about the grand, amazing Christian life. It's about you, Jesus. So help us to return to you today. I thank you for the impartation from Practice Mercy. I thank you that we got to partner with them. And I thank you for that mom and that son crossing over. You are so good, Father. You are so good. And I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your life. Amen. Amen.